Mon frère venait de mourir. Le jour de son enterrement, j'avais pu revoir Abel.
Je sais pas du tout comment ça...
Ok, si vous parece, empezamos con la...
Well, let's commence the press conference. Hi, good morning. We have the, apart from the cast and the crew of the of A Faithful Man, who's in the official section of the San Sebastian Film Festival this year, we've got also the great scriptwriter, Dylan Gore Clavier, the actresses, Letitia Castell and Lizzie Rose Depp, and the director and scriptwriter and actor, Luis Garrel. If anyone has any questions, please.
Here is Jean-Claude Carrière, so you can ask Spanish question to Jean-Claude Carrière.
Porque soy español.
Hola, buenos días.
Hi, good morning. I would like to, I'm interested in knowing what was it like working with the script between both of you, writing the script between Jean-Claude and Louis Carrel. What was it like running the script? And I would like to know whether you had to label the film into any genre, or how would you label it, comedy? Or noir drama? What kind of? How would you qualify the film? What? How would you label it?
Maybe I speak in English. I hope you everybody is going to understand that. You know, at the beginning, you know, okay. First, it was a dream for me to work with Jean-Claude since I'm 16 years old. You know, because I'm such a big fan of his work, and then finally I met him. And then we started to think about like a movie without any producer that we could make together. And of course, because I'm French, and also because I'm like I am, you know, I wanted to make movies about men and women. This is, you know, my obsession in general, and as a spectator and as a director too. So I talked to Jean-Claude, and then I realized that him and I, we could be like a good couple, because, okay, Jean-Claude, he's got his age, I've got my age, and sometimes, you know, I'm much, for example, much more sentimental than him, okay? And Jean-Claude is very dry and rough and tough, you know? Not only, okay, for different reasons, because for his sense of cinema, he hates, for example, the melodrama in general. Okay, me, I love melodrama. So we had some conflicts when we built the script, you know, because sometimes I was shaking, you know, because I admire so much Jean-Claude. So sometimes I was writing.
Hombre muy sentimental.
Okay, muy sentimental, si. Donc, I was writing some stuff, and Jean-Claude, without saying nothing, he was just take a pen, like, no. And then he was pushing my page. And then he was writing things, you know, better than me. So, and sometimes he was writing things, I said, yes, thank you, Jean-Claude, Master Jean-Claude, thank you, Master Jean-Claude. And sometimes he said, but Jean-Claude, maybe this one is a little bit too much dry and too much, and he was saying, sometimes you say, okay, Louis, okay, we can be a little bit more sentimental, but let's do, he was telling me things like matter of facts. I mean, you have to go ahead all the time. And then you can see that with the movie. I mean, we don't make pause of sentimentality and everything. The facts are said, and then you can interpret them the way you want, you know. But so we work like this. So we create a new person, Jean-Claude and I, the mix. You know, we are a couple. Maybe I don't know, maybe it's a woman. I mean, the person that we mix together, it's a woman, you know? Do you understand my joke? It's a French joke. I mean, it's like a, okay, it was like a bridge. Okay, we built like a bridge, and maybe that bridge is a woman, I think. I hope so. Are you agree, Master Carrière?
Si, la première chose fue de...
We had to forget about our differences, because he's 35, and I turned 87 the day before yesterday. And also, what he didn't say is that I worked with his father before working with him. And that is also a way of getting closer together and to coming closer to each other when we worked. And I don't know how to say this, but to work like in three generations.
Bon, you know. Attends.
Et para mí Luis es un hombre muy talentoso.
Luis is a very talented man, very good looking, very handsome, and he's a decent actor. And a very faithful friend, and I love him very much. So we've worked like trying to forget our difference of age, our differences in age. And that's very difficult to tell the same story, both of us, but one is 80-something and the other one's 30-something. How is it possible that could we join together two such different experiences? And so I believe that we did what was necessary. The other thing is that I started in films before Buñuel with Jacques Tartier and Pierre Etex. And Pierre Etex was the main actor of our films. And working in front of himself, working with the main actor, who is also going to be the director, helps a lot, because you, by writing the script, you already see the first version or the first image on the first scene. That is to say, the actor is your collaborator and he's also going to be the director. And that for me gave me the occasion of going back to my beginnings, for the first films I made at the beginning of the 1960s. So these are two very interesting things. Another interesting thing is that, of course, it all worked very well. Both of us got along very well. Otherwise, it would have been a disaster.
Question, I think if you try to name the genre of the film, I think you can't very much, because even me, and I think it's a thing that I appreciate a lot, if you say comedy, the film is a comedy, you can say, it's a comedy, but it's also a drama. But if you say it's a drama, you say, yes, but it's also a comedy. And then it can be also a thriller, you know, suspense movie. I don't know how do you say that. So it's a mixed genre, and the film can't be really defined, you know, exactly. And it's a good thing, I think, because me, for example, I don't like to be, comment on dit défini en Angleterre?
Defined.
Beforehand? Beforehand?
Defined.
Ah, defined, sorry. Defined, okay. I don't like to be defined in general. I don't like, oh, Louis is a man very kind. I'm not just kind, you know, and then Louis is a man very happy. I'm not just happy. So the movie is a little bit like this. You can't I think you can say an inquiet... Une comédie inquiétante en espagnol. Comment tu pourrais dire ça? Jean-Claude?
Une
comédie inquiétante.
Comment une comédie que da miedo.
Qui est d'amiette. Qu'est-ce que ça veut dire?
Oui, c'est ça.
C'est ça?
Qui fait peur.
Ah voilà, ok, on a un comédien qui fait mieux.
Tenemos alguna otra
pregunta? The answer was a little...
Una cosa bastante difícil para nosotros.
It's quite difficult for us today is that he speaks English and I speak Spanish and we're French. That's the difficult thing. Because I think that I understand what he's saying, but he doesn't understand what I say. That means that I can say whatever I want, and he's not going to understand it.
Hola, buenos días.
Hi, good morning. This is a question for the director and the co-scriptwriter. What drew my attention at the beginning was how long, it's a 75-minute film, and our opinion is you got it right, because nowadays there's a current in which films have to last 120 minutes at least. So therefore we would like to know, was that another tool in the narrative to get rid of all of the hay of what's unnecessary and get rid of judgments, judging the characters, only presenting what they do in 75 minutes, the characters, and leaving judgments to one side, if you get what I'm saying. For me, any film is a new film. It hadn't existed beforehand. I'm not trying to copy, to redo a film that I've already written before. For example, I have never in my life, and I've written over 100 screenplays, I have never used a voiceover. And here, and there are three people who have a voiceover. And for me, it's something completely new for me in writing the screenplay. And if you reflect upon this, you can see that the voiceover only belongs to the language of cinema. It doesn't belong to the language of literature, obviously, neither of plays or theater. It's a weapon of cinema, and it's used sometimes in a distant way. It's as if as in a way that's different. So for example, for me, it was an experience of mixing the three voices of the three characters and seeing what the viewer or the spectator and the audience sees. They receive the voice of one or the other actor, the mistakes they make, the lies they told, all of that I thought was very, interested me very much in the writing of the screenplay. I had never done that before at my age.
There's a fact very funny because, you know, in France, you know, I have friends that they are director. And then suddenly I said, you know, I shot, because we shot the movie in four weeks, and I was very proud of it. And I said to all of my colleagues, you know, you shot like 7-8 weeks. Me, you know, I did my movie in 4 weeks. And then I was very proud of it. And that's why also the movie has to be, you know, not so long, you know, it's had to be short. Because I love short movies sometimes, exactly the way I loved short novels, you know. You have, like, for example, Chekhov, he makes some short novels maybe that I love much, that is long play and everything. So, but suddenly I discovered that in interviews, Luis Buñuel shot his fantastic movies in 18 days. So, you know, my proudness was a little bit louder because he was so good. And Anna Karina, that I know a little bit, she told me that Jean-Luc Godard made Vivre sa vie, which is like a masterpiece, in 11 days. So, you know, now I'm less proud to say that I shot in 4 weeks. But it's true that, you know, we were talking about that. It's a... there is a physiologic thing. Whatever you watch, like a masterpiece, a good movie, a bad movie, not a bad movie, okay, a movie, after 50 minutes, your attention gets a little bit like, and for me, because also I come from the theater, the, comment on dit l'ennui?
The boredom.
The boredom is for me like the evil. You know, that's the evil in cinema, in theater, everything. So we try with Jean-Claude to not boredom. Never boredom in the movie. So I hope you didn't get bored when you were watching the movie. And the 75 minutes was also made for this. Like, it's quick, and then it goes from a thing to another one. That's what it was, like a challenge, something like this.
Dormiendo, pero no sin boredom.
No, no boredom. No boredom, yes. Hi, I'm over here. I'd like to ask you whether you address the possibility of using an actor to represent the husband, and whether that affected, how did you do to play a role which has a close relationship but a person who doesn't really exist or doesn't appear in the film, that is to say, the husband who dies? So how did you do that?
Maybe because I don't...
Yes, es un problema de... Desde el inicio del...
It's the problem from the beginning of cinema. How you could, a director can direct other actors. Do you have to, Chaplin, for example, it's difficult to imitate Chaplin, for example. And I remember the Père Duthèque and Tati. Wait. I'm sorry, I didn't understand. No, Paul... From the beginning, there's no Paul. That's right. No, Paul.
So, no, Paul. Paul is dead. No, I mean... No, but the thing with the film, you know, we were in Toronto, for example, and there is a lot of problem unsolved in the movie. You know, who is the biological father? Who was Paul? And the doctor is gay, he's not gay. And you know, in Toronto, there was an American guy who asked me, is he gay, the doctor, or not? I said, you know, I don't know. I've got my own theory, but I don't know. And also, who is the biological father? You know, I said, you know, I don't know. For the fatherhood, I have like an argument for this, and this is very much important for me, because today, because the society, for example, changed so much that it's not, you know, with gay couple they have children and everything, and they're gonna grow up. So the biological thing, it's not like an argument to say I'm your father. And being the father of someone, it's something much more deep and much more than just like a biological thing. Otherwise, you have to know that because when I was writing the script, I talked with doctors. And doctors told me, you know, Necker, who was like a guy who was living in France, he was a doctor, he said that the 25% in families, the third child is never, you know, the child of the person who you believe who is. You know, it's like it's a tragedy in France, but also in Spain, I'm sure. You know, nobody knows biologically who is your father. So that's better for the movie and for the society, for the Europe in general, that nobody knows who is the father of Joseph, you know,
don't forget the, huh? Don't forget the mi hija está aquí.
And for Paul, because I think it would be too tragic for an actor to play one scene and then die, you know. Also, but you know, because people, when you send the script beginning to find some money, say, why don't we see like pictures of Paul? And we said, no, Paul is just an you can imagine who is Paul, but no, the movie is not going to imagine that for you. You have to work a little bit. That was the thing.
When we were writing the script, excuse me if I switch to English, we really didn't know where we were going. I mean, I wanted, and so did we, every scene to bring a surprise to us, you know, to the writers, not to be logically following the other scene, you know, and preparing the next one. Every scene, if you look carefully at the film, has a new surprise, a new element which appears, which we can discuss. Is the doctor gay or not? Who is the father of the boy, etc. But we didn't know at the very beginning exactly where we were going. When we were discovering the script, step by step, and scene by scene, which I like very much, you know. And finally, I think there is no one image in the film which is not necessary.
Yeah, yeah.
I think I could see with Jean-Claude, because sometimes I've got some ideas, and then I could see Jean-Claude bored by my ideas, because you know so many films, much more than me. He wrote so many scripts that I'm sure that my ideas sometimes was already made. But that's true that the film, this is the thing that I'm the most proud of it, and it's also much because of Jean-Claude. I don't see a movie, because it in appearance, you know, it's a domestic story, you know, it's very ordinary. But I don't know a movie with the same story, you know, because it's very hard when you make a movie after 100 years of cinema, because you can repeat yourself, you can repeat other movies. But I don't have any memory of a film like this, you know, with a children like this who said this, and then a guy who is coming back after 9 years, after a guy who just died. If someone have an idea, know a film like this, he can raise his hand, and then I slap Jean-Claude Carrière and I said you were wrong, but okay, it's okay.
Hola, buenos días.
Hi, good morning. I'd like to ask the actresses, could you describe your roles and how complicated it was to get into your characters, and could you explain how the characters they portray? And Mr. Carrier, I would like to know whether are there any reminiscences of Luis Buñuel in those scenes of shoes that you can see in the scenes, which are very recurrent? I'm pretty sure, but we can't say which ones, okay? I'm pretty sure they may be. But these are facts. This has been done with the elements of the people, the directors and the actors with whom we've worked. At my age, I'm a composite of Bugo, Tati, Tex, Buñuel, and now Garrel. Oh, so that's a mixture, and his father as well. So it's difficult to see and to discern precisely what we are, or what I am, for example. I'm the only thing I can really say, and it's very difficult, is to self-analyze myself. It's very difficult for everyone to self-analyze themselves. But what I can say is that I couldn't write a play or a screenplay without a smile on my face, without the possibility and make people laugh at a given moment. That's my initial training. That's how I started. I started as a gag man. Up until this film, the same film without the possibility of laughing wouldn't be the same film. I couldn't write a film without laughing and smiling. Hemos hablado tanto, tenemos que hacer que Leticia y Lily puedan hablar, ¿vale?
My character is Eve. I play Paul's little sister, who is known, Luis' character, Abel, since she was a child and has, and we see her kind of now becoming a woman and realizing the ability that she has to maybe realize some of her dreams and her desires that she's had since she was a young girl. And I think it's very interesting and very relatable also to see that that moment of transition in a young woman's life when you realize that you're no longer a young girl, but you're a woman. And there's a lot of strength in that word, and there's a lot of power that comes with coming into your womanhood, and that's what I really liked about the character is her growth and her the urgency that she feels to express herself and to have these things that she's always dreamed about, and yeah, realizing the power that that comes with being a woman.
When I read the script, I was surprised about that character. I never have seen that before. I thought this woman, Marianne, was very strong and, in a way, very radical in her way of loving a man and making choice. And you can see those two men, they're thinking a lot. They are very, in a way, in a head. And I have to put Marianne more down in something more sentimental, like putting skin and heart and blood, to not be too intellectual in a way, because I was scared that she's going to be too hard. And it was a long process, so I have to imagine my character before. What happened before, when we start the first scene, where she said goodbye to the man in a way very strong way. And then I really appreciated that character. I think I wanted to be Marianne at the end. To be only with the conscience, not being polite or sociable, and do exactly what she wanted to do, or exactly have what she want to have with her desire. So it gave me a lot of freedom to play Marianne, and I really appreciate that you give me the possibility to play a character like that.
if I may add something, for the first time in my life, I had the feeling that the Marianne, her character, was the screenwriter of the film, that she was directing the film, making all the choices, you know, that, and I had to follow her. It's a very strange feeling that when a writer follows the decisions of his, of one of his characters, and she was Marianne. She makes the death, she directs the film, I mean, she's the patron of the film. And every time she was making a decision, I was wondering, isn't it too much? Isn't it a bit too much? No, she was right. You know? To me, she was the one, the most secret of all the characters, and the most acute, you know, the most efficient.
Now, I think there is also a pleasure to see two women, you know, rules the game, and a man a little bit treated as an object. I think it's very funny. And this is a thing that I like, because if you think about the movie and the story, I mean, women, they decide everything. I mean, he can Abel, my character, can pretend sometimes, but it's not his pleasure in life, you know, his pleasure, and I can know that feeling to be...
Comment on pourrait dire? Porté par les choses, se laisser porter par les choses.
To let things go, yeah.
Yeah, let yourself take it, or let yourself...
Yeah, okay. Okay, you understood. Ah, thank you. Okay, you understood. Like to be sometimes, to not take decisions. You know, it's like a fantasy that I have in my life, and sometimes it's very good because I can enjoy it. So, but it was funny also to wrote that two women who take him and has a balloon, you know. And but to say two things about Lily and Laetitia, because I was very proud, because when we were writing the script, I already knew that I wanted to work with Laetitia and Lily. So, and it was, first of all, it was like a fantastic thing, because they said yes. Lily said yes, and Laetitia said yes right away. Because I know Lily, when she was 15 years old, I played on a movie called Planetarium of a friend of me called Rebecca Zlotowski, and then I met Lily at 15 years old. But at that time, you know, I didn't feel she was 15 years old. You know, I felt that I have the same age. And on the makeup room, the thing that I told to Lily, it's like, don't go too much on nightclub. And then she was looking at me like this, and then I realized that I was older than her, because she was saying, okay, that old man is telling me to not go in nightclub too much, don't take drugs and everything. So, and after when we were writing the script with Jean-Claude, I knew that she would be synchronized to the character. And sometimes it's a joy and it's a grace to have an actress who is completely synchronized, you know, there is no mask. There is something very close to her, and very close to her age, you know. So that was for me. It's like she's born in the movie forever, you know, Lily. So I'm very glad of that. Yes. And then Laetitia, at the beginning, she told me, you know, Marianne, she's very tough. And I was pretending, no, don't worry, she's not tough. And in fact, I knew that she could be seen as a tough woman, but I knew that. She was not psychological, and there was no psychology on her, and I could feel that somebody was good to in the character. And Laetitia worked so many times, because she told me people have to hate her, maybe in the beginning, but after people have to understand her and then feel okay close, because it's always a cliche also to make characters likable. You know, I like sometimes to see characters not likable, because we're all like this, okay? And Laetitia, she works so much, and at the end of the movie, I saw so many people who can understand her. Even if the facts are tough and the facts are strong, I mean, everyone say, okay, we understand her. You know, that's because of Leticia's work.
And that's a very good point about Leticia, you know, that she makes the good decision and the screenwriters has to agree and to follow her. But the contrary does exist. For instance, when you want to make a decision, you know, during the writing of a script, you think about one of your friends who is also always making the wrong decisions. What would Maurice do? He would do this, this, and this. So let's do the opposite.
Yeah, you're right.
And we have a chance to be right.
Okay. First of all, I have to say that it is an overwhelming honor to be in the same room as Jean-Claude Carrière. I went to school in the University of Nevada, Las Vegas, and we spent many hours studying the way that you write things. I am a big fan. I'm a screenwriter and director as well. And I can't believe that I'm here with you guys. And you say you're 87 now, right?
87, yeah.
87, yeah. So I'm glad that you're alive, and I'm glad that I'm here with you. And it's just, yeah, because honestly, it is an honor. That's all I gotta say to you and to the team, to all of you, to Louis. I'm actually jealous because I grew up with a poster of Leticia in my room with a snake. I don't know if you remember that. And to work with Jean-Claude and the team that you have is actually an amazing opportunity. And I have to say that hopefully I am looking forward to come to Europe at some point and do some movie here. And hopefully I'll get some people as talented as you have. So you're very lucky.
Okay, cool. Thank you. I know that, and I cross fingers for you.
Okay, and the question for Jean-Claude is this. What is the type of advice that you can give to a young screenwriter, director? Advice.
First of all, be sure that you are gifted, that you have a certain attraction to do that, you know, that you have a certain, how could I say, disposition to be a writer. Not everybody has, and it's not a shame. When you are sure that you want to be a writer and that you have the capacities, then you have to work. If you have a gift, you have to deserve that gift. It's very rare, you know. If you don't deserve it, so you are lost. And you have to work and work and work every day, even, you know, to fill pages that will never be used, you know. There is a phrase by a French...
Bien dans le micro.
A French poet, Georges Brassens, which I like very much, is talking about a prostitute. And he says, she had the gift, no doubt about it. But without technique, a gift is only a dirty mania. You understand what I mean? The technique, the know-how, the practice, the work, is absolutely necessary, and every day. And also, to use the world around you, what you see, and the world inside yourself as your material. Everything, when you want to write a good script, a good novel, even a good theater play, the rest of the world is made for you, and only for you, and only for display. Everything, you know, is to be used. Be careful, be precise, and work.
Thank you.
Vale, vamos con la última pregunta.
Last question, yes. Good morning, I would like to know whether it's possible, I would like to know Who holds the truth in Paul's death? Who knows the truth? Who knows the truth? Who's in the possession of the truth in this mystery? Creo que todas las opciones son loables y están disponibles. Es decir, esperemos que no hay un policía en la película, afortunadamente. Así que la verdad no es tan importante porque a nadie se le va a juzgar, ¿de acuerdo? What was the little boy's name? Joseph?
Good, yeah. He's super good. And he's here. Where are you, Joseph? Ah, il est là, Joseph. Regarde, Joseph. Lève-toi, lève-toi. 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 Lève-toi.